Skype of Cthulhu presents The Music of the Spheres by Kevin A. Ross, published in The Stars Are Right by Chaosium Inc., featuring Sam as Marshal Harry Dresden, a.k.a. Agent Glavin, Magnus as DEA Agent Dan Ferguson, a.k.a. Agent Gary, Corey as CIA Analyst Nate Cranston, a.k.a. Agent Hendry, and Jonathan as Dr. Daniel Hayes. Opening music graciously provided by Alicorn. You can find Alicorn's music at alicorn.bandcamp.com. Alicorn is A-L-L-I-C-O-R-N. Now, enjoy our Delta Green adventure, The Music of the Spheres.
Well, I apologize again about last week, gentlemen, but work called. I had to get this contract finished and...
No worries.
Yeah,
no problem. Yeah, no problem. Actually, it worked out better for me where I was, so all good.
Well, I'd ordinarily say we do every other week, but I'm of this belief that you have to keep momentum going, and if you miss a session, man, things just fall apart. That's just my belief.
Yeah, I've completely forgotten what's going on, so...
Well, you didn't really stop in the middle in a good place either.
All right. From what I listened,
because I haven't listened to that session 3 Magnus uploaded yet, because I'm just crazy. So
I have, though.
Okay, well, hit it, Magnus. You're on deck.
Well, we... I don't actually remember where it began, but I think... Right, we began...
just shot the dog.
Exactly. Yeah, the dog. We began by shooting the dog. And then we had a long conversation with the deputy. There were some papers being filed. We decided to visit our friendly neighborhood UFO nut. I just gotta get my notes here.
I think we were visiting the UFO nut.
Steve Wood.
Yes.
Oh God.
Who was slightly paranoid, but let us in and let us see some pictures. He'd had a break-in into his house or farm or whatever it is, and we were worried that they might return. So my character, Agent Gary, decided that he should stay there for the night, and we also called in somebody called Harney, who's a total conspiracy nut, who'd found some sort of a metal object, which he showed us. And then he started talking about the cattle mutilations, and that's when you're cut out.
Okay, yeah. So we really didn't get a whole lot done then, dang.
No, it was only like 30 minutes of actual play, so...
All right, let me get my notes pulled out here. All right. Now, Jonathan, I know that... Sorry. Total aside. Is anyone recording by now, I assume?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. Jonathan, I know that didn't get to Daniel Hayes last session, but I've got to get this scene wrapped up to get back to you. So,
no worries.
Just hang with me. I'm trying.
No, damn it. I demand equal screen time.
Don't worry, God, Vince. I'm back with my college gaming group. Help me, somebody.
Don't worry, Vince. You are very, very trying. But we like you anyway.
Oh, my agent will be writing angry letters to you.
All right, so you left off in Stephen Wood's living room. Harney Ruger, the local conspiracy nut, had told you guys about his files on the cattle mutilations. He was showing the little baggie of the metal piece. I don't think he had actually let go of it yet. I think we were in the midst of trying to convince him to hand it over.
Yeah, he'd just shown it, I think. Yeah.
Right. Basically, at this point, I think I was calling for either a persuade, a conspiracy theory, or a fast talk role to convince him to hand it over. So the three of you there...
we haven't actually tried to convince him to hand it over.
Okay, yeah. Agents Gary, Glavin, and Hendry, y'all can try for one of those three roles and see if you can convince Harney, because I'm still amazed he's talking to three obvious government agents, but y'all just really rolled well on your initial contact.
I actually, if I'm not wearing any gloves or anything, I don't actually want to be touching that.
I don't think Hendry has any qualms in touching that. So I'm gonna say, can I please take a look at that? That is fascinating. And I was too excited because that was a 79 out of something.
God damn it. I failed my conspiracy theory because I only have aught one. I failed my persuade, but I made my fast talk. Can I take a look at that? The metal theme?
So what? The soothing southern tones of the trench-coated, mustachioed gentleman managed to convince Harney to fork over the plastic bag. So, the object in the bag is about the size of your little fingernail. It is a sort of dark grayish metal, and it appears to have something incised on it. It's hard to tell. Whoever wants to look at it closely can make a spot hidden. That will be at half.
I would do
22. That's a pass for spot hidden half.
God damn it. God damn it. I am the spot hidden king.
Once again, Sam's luck run continues to run. All right. So Agent Gary and Agent Glavin both made it. Gary, you're sort of peeking over his shoulder, I assume.
Yeah.
What it looks like on the piece of metal is irregularly shaped. I mean, it's not like a definite shape of any sort. It's just sort of regular shape. It might have been broken off something. It's hard to tell. But you can see that there are lines incised on it in regular groupings. And they're very, very precise, very parallel incised on the metal. Both of you, since you made your spot hidden, you can make me an idea roll, both of you.
13, that's a pass.
Okay. All right, idea is that. Let's roll. Yep.
Pass. Okay. It occurs to you, both of you, the pattern resembles a UPC code almost.
And for those that don't know what a UPC code is,
a barcode, a price scanning code, like on groceries.
Was it like universal pricing code or something like that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so used to calling it UPC code. I don't know, outside the state.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. Interesting cube there. Interesting pattern.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I take a picture?
Harney's like, sure. So he takes the bag from you, opens it up, and spills it out on Steven's coffee table that Steven recently put back up. And so it's sitting out on the coffee table. You can make a photography roll with your, I assume, your cell phone. So,
Sure, I don't have photography, but I can, of course, try.
What is that?
Well, let's put it this way. Photography should be... Dang it.
Yeah, it's scholarly skills, it says.
Scholarly, second basically, if you... It's not a case of if you fail, you won't take the picture, but if you pass, you'll be able to actually get the barcode on the photograph. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Okay, 31, Cranston, doing the same thing. Yeah, I don't get a very good
all
picture.
All three of you
are
hovering over with your mobile phone.
Damn it, that's not... I'm not getting it.
What happened to autofocus? It's a macro. Yeah. So let's make some settings changes there.
Hey,
literally, Agent Glavin pulls out a giant 1920s photo camera with a flash.
Yeah, no.
Hey, Steve, do you have a piece of paper and a pencil, perhaps?
Yeah, sure. Give me just a minute. He runs into another room, grabs a pencil, a piece of paper, brings it to you. He's like, what are you going to do? You going to write it down?
I'm going to try to... I put the paper on the metal thing, and I use the pencil to try to transfer the marking.
Make a rubbing. Okay. Yeah. Well, once again, players have stumped the keeper. if you were to make that a skill to roll, what would you put it? Because I don't seem to have gravestone rubbing as a skill on the show.
I don't think it's a matter of skill. I think it's a matter of... I mean, it's... I automatically succeed in making the rubbing, but if it's too fine, it's not gonna show anyway.
Yeah, I would almost say that would be an int. That was a nice idea there.
Would it be a craft roll?
No, not really. I mean, he's not trying to build anything. No. Screw it. Do a luck roll.
Yeah, sure. 75, that's... not... that's a fail.
That is a fail?
Yes.
Does anyone else want to hop in there? Because you're doing the rubbing, but you're not picking up the marking.
I think I do.
All right, I'll... Glavin jumps in with an 0-7.
Good God!
I'm not even... I just tossed my dice with the hopes of, you know, not even expecting anything, but fucking 0-7!
I think we need a picture of Sam's dice, because I just have this image. The tens die is just like zeros on every face except for one that has a sort of two on it.
Well, I assume we all...
Sam went, I need dice for role playing. I need something to roll percentile.
I will do the same, and I actually succeeded as well. Not as well. Not a hot seven, but I would so do the same.
Y'all lean over and they do, damn it, here, let me try. And between the two of you...
We need multiple copies, you know. So.
Y'all rub out the UPC, the barcode, and it's legible, so congratulations, you got it. So, now what? Quick aside, this is still the first day, right? Because y'all went right after shooting the dog and paperwork to meeting with this guy, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. When I examine the object, what sort of material would I say that it's made out of?
You would say it's metal of some sort, but, you know, it's hard for you to ascertain. I mean, unless you had a background in metallurgy, it'd be hard for you to ascertain exactly what it is. Yeah. So, but it's metal of some sort.
So, Steve, you have any scale or something like that?
What are you trying to determine?
You know, for weighing the object?
What is it?
Sure. I've got a little postal scale around here, and he brings out a postal scale and sets it down. So
that's great.
Welcome to weigh it and get the weight that the keeper has not determined at this point. So you re-record a valid weight off the postal scale. So there you go.
Yeah. And I'm also, what shape is it? Is it a... sort of regular
It's irregularly shaped. I mean, it's about the size of your little fingernail, but there is no definite shape to it. I mean, you can't certain it's like a rectangle, a polygon, anything. It's you would almost think it's broken off of something, perhaps.
All right.
So. Has anybody actually touched it yet?
Well, I assume you are if you took it out of the bag to rub it.
All right.
I touched it with the paper.
Well, you know, you touch it with the paper. But I would totally touch it and try to feel it. And, maybe transferring it to the scale or whatever. And try to see, is there any unusual sensation when we pick it up? Or does it just feel like regular metal? Or
okay. And how many hit points and magic points did you have? I'm kidding.
Hey, he doesn't care. It's an alien. I got lots of power. Power is 15.
It feels room temperature to you. I mean, it feels like you're touching a piece of steel or aluminum. I mean, it's got a metallic feel to your bare hands.
Right, so nothing strange compared to what it looks like. Okay,
no, cool. Doesn't burn a hole through your hand. You mean excellent. Your hair doesn't fall out. Whew. It's good. All
right. Marshall Dresden doesn't lose another hand. Yes.
Well, I really want to get some stats on this. Can anybody get me a glass of water full to the brim?
What the heck?
Actually, give me two glasses.
Gary's got
I love this little Mr. Wizard moment we're having.
Going on here. Oh, nice.
Okay.
Mr. Wizard.
In order to save time, I will say that yes, you determined the specific gravity and volume of the object.
I was looking for density, but sure, great.
Yeah, you get all the pertinent details.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay. I'm straining here for my college level chemistry courses. It's been about almost 20 years, guys.
Yeah. No problem. Now, looking at the density, would I say that it's made out of a normal metal?
I think that would definitely be covered by a roll of some sort.
Yes, definitely.
You think chemistry would cover that, maybe? Or
probably, though I don't have anything in chemistry. I only have pharmacy. But sure, let's try chemistry, even though I don't have it.
Otherwise, I think have to chemistry send it off. and/or physics would cover those.
Yeah,
probably.
Well, I'll give it a try. It's a 0-1 at least. 35. No, that's a fail.
Okay. Could I do anything like with my UFOlogy, trying to see if I remember any articles or anything like that corresponds to this? Okay, I'll try that. 32 out of 37. That's a normal.
Well, I'll write the facts down and we'll send them to B-Cell.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Real quick aside, the three of you make me knowledge checks. And while you're making those, Corey, I'll tell you what you remember. There have been recorded instances of artifacts left behind at UFO landings, what quote-unquote UFO landing sites, that are similar to this, small metal objects that are similar to chaff or broken pieces of metal. So you have heard of this before.
Okay.
I passed my knowledge check.
So okay, you remember you have a Geiger counter.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting. Nice. Yes. Yeah, good point.
So let's do some more measurements then, I suppose.
I go out to the flaming 12-seater van and pick up the Geiger counter, bring it in and wave it at the thing.
Okay, it does start clicking. Nowhere near harmful, but it does start clicking. And you get a reading, and again with the knowledge checks, the three of you, just to see, because I'm not going to give this one away for free.
I missed it.
Look at it. I made it by one. All right.
Gary and Glavin, as Glavin's waving the Geiger counter over the piece, the two of you remember that the reading you're getting on the Geiger counter matches exactly the readings that Carrie Osborne got from her survey sites on the GPCA grounds.
Gotcha.
So it is the same amount of radiation that she was noting at her test sites.
Shoot Glavin a look. Yes. This is worrisome.
What? Indeed. What's the matter? What's going on?
We'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah, these readings match something we've seen before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I put my eyes down to the ground and say, okay.
we'll tell you in a minute.
My droopy, watery eyes go to the ground.
God damn you!
Do we remember? Did he mention where he found this? I think he did, but I don't.
I think he did. I think he said he found it.
Yeah, in the northern or somewhere.
Yeah, out of character, I'm having trouble remembering what I said. Magnus, do you remember from that?
No.
Yeah, I think he said the northern sites where we saw all the imprints and all that. On the map. So, okay, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I would just, could you confirm where you actually found this? We'd like to obviously take some more, we see that your ideas are obviously true, and we'd really like to investigate further and find some more out about this, Harney.
Okay, he gives you a location outside of Hayden. It's in the direction of the GPCA, but it is not on the grounds of the GPCA.
Right.
So he does give you the location, which for an out of character, I don't have off the top of my head. But for you in story will matter if you decide to go find it. So there.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds about good. All right. Well, if that's everything, guys, I think we shall thank you for your time, gentlemen. And good UFO hunting.
Yes.
Say, all right, Harney. Do you mind if we borrow this for a while?
That you're gonna need to make him a good convincing persuade roll there. So
yeah, I was afraid of that.
Can I see some UFO?
He's starting to get a little sweaty. His hands are twitching a bit. He's a little nervous about this.
0-3. That's an
He believes you are the best option right now. He's like, yeah, that's the way to find the truth. We've got to get him from inside. That's right.
Yeah.
You're with me. You understand, right? They haven't taken you yet. Right, no. Agent Gary? No. I can trust you.
Of course.
Have you been taken, Harney?
No, they haven't gotten me yet. And he kind of lifts up his cap a little bit. And you hear the crinkle of aluminum foil under his cap. And he's they won't get me.
Yeah. Good idea. Glad you're on top of it.
Steven's kind of standing behind Harney. He's kind of shaking his head a little bit, like, oh god. So Steven sees you guys out, and as you're leaving, Hendry, he kind of whispers in your ear. He's like, take good care of those pictures for me. Make sure they get someplace safe. Okay.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely will. So you take care, and just let us know if you need anything. We're around. We're here to help.
Well, I'm staying behind as well.
He shakes your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, Gary. You're staying behind. Okay.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, Gary, you're going to bed down there for the night.
Yeah.
Hendry and Glavin, you guys are going back to the hotel.
Actually, I thought we were going to go out to DPCA. Catch up, and actually, we were going to try to get some communiques out to Delta Green and try to arrange the green box and all that other neat stuff. So.
Well, pretty much fill them in on the situation and let them know that the name of the guy that we came for.
Yeah, and the blood in my in the ice is melting quickly. Okay.
Only problem I have is Dr. Hayes was ahead quite a few hours, and by the time he stumbled back to the staff quarters, it was after midnight. And for you guys, it's probably only about at the latest 9 o'clock. So,
okay. No, I don't think. I think we wasn't it like 9 o'clock when we called Arnie?
Right, because you did spend some time.
Yeah, because we did.
Office.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we could. Okay. Yeah, you know, we could. Obviously, we've been talking to these guys for a while. I mean, if you want to shoot ahead some time, that would be fine.
Okay. All right. So we'll have you roll out to the GPCA. Who's driving? Glavin, are you driving again?
Yes. If anybody else has any objections.
No, absolutely not.
All right, Glavin. Since you're driving in the dark down the gravel road, the 4 miles out to the GPCA, your headlights cut through the darkness. And as you're driving, bouncing along, you notice that there are swarms of insects starting to cover the road in front of you.
Swarms of what, sorry?
Insects.
Oh. All right, cool. I didn't hear
and,
that.
And they tend to blur and jump up in front of and move away from the van as you're driving, but it's becoming thicker as you get closer and closer. And at some point, they start to smash against the windshield rather than parting, and it's starting to build up quite heavily. So would you give me a driving roll, please?
Oh, God. All right. Ought 9.
Nice.
What? Oh.
Okay. Sam, do you have any other D10s? I'm starting to get a little concerned here.
Okay, I'm switching to my backup D10s.
All right.
Because, holy crap, I am stealing somebody's dice roll up.
You're channeling Tom Church from RPPR.
Okay, yeah. All right, okay. I am officially switched to my... if you'll give me a moment to put back on my dice, I have officially switched to my backup dice.
Well, as you drive along, you slow the van down, and you don't ever lose control, but you are kind of creeping along at some point as the swarm of insects smash around the van and blur around it and sweep and dive in clouds. But eventually, the van's headlights cut through it. You come emerge from the other side of the cloud of insects and see the GPCA lights right in front of you. And as you drive up, you see the administration building and the large control tower with its enormous dish on top of it, backlit by ground lights. And you head over to where you know the staff quarters are. And we'll have you meet up with Dr. Hayes, who has just stumbled back to his quarters and is sitting there contemplating what he saw in the night sky. So I will bring the three of you together.
All right.
Agent Hendry, Agent Glavin, Dr. Hayes.
Knock, Hayes, knock, knock. How you doing?
Oh, hey there.
Say, any new news there? We've had a fun night with a bunch of UFO nuts. It's very productive, actually.
UFOs, you say?
Yeah. Well, UFOs.
Like, lights blinking in the sky.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah, apparently,
yeah. I may have seen some of those earlier.
You saw? You saw them yourself. What do they look like? What are they doing?
I'll describe them.
Okay.
Okay. Oh my God. For those who For those who don't remember, didn't listen to session two, he saw a series of lights in the sky moving rapidly in many directions, changing course suddenly. The lights would blink in various colors and various patterns, and eventually it disappeared. So it was very obvious to him, seeing it, what he describes to you, this is not an airplane. An airplane could not make those rapid changes in speed and direction.
And, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Where'd you see him? Did you record the time? Are they still about? I got to see this.
I'll point the direction where they came from, which I believe was northwest from the GPCA. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell him the approximate time, but I don't know.
Okay.
It was not that long ago.
Okay,
I believe,
sure.
Yeah, probably be about 1 a.m., something okay. like that.
Yeah, so I'll let him know that.
Okay. Well, I would basically ask, you know, where did it go? Did it land? Did it fly off in a certain direction? Or
I'm assuming it flew off somewhere. I didn't.
It just went dark. The lights went
right.
out.
Yeah,
so.
Just
went
just
dark.
Blinked out of existence.
Wow. I think we should get out there.
There's also some kind of problem with one of the receiver dishes here.
Yeah? What kind of problem?
Good question. I didn't write that down.
You said it went off the rails? Yeah. Right.
I will help. Essentially, during your first shift there, number one, one of the dishes did get derailed.
Yeah.
What's his name? The Lothario. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Bernard mentioned that this seems to be a regular occurrence, that there's always some sort of problem every night now with a dish either going down or going offline. That was repaired by Gary and Jim Davis. There was also a regular radio interference that was interrupting the work you were getting. And Jack said that seems to be happening regularly too. And you can't localize the source, but it is almost like a terrestrial phenomenon, like somebody using a ham radio or something. Yeah. It seems to be regular every night.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be the two things of interest to you during the night's tenure. So
yeah, and I'll pass that all on, and I'll let them know a bit more about this repeating signal they found. They're still
right. Well, if I recall, didn't you say it came from the receiver dish somehow? Or did I miss that? Did I hear that?
I think wasn't the repeating signal is out in space.
No, I think he said it was from the ground, correct? And then,
right. Now you're thinking of the Nemesis star signal that is one of the main projects that they're working on. I mean, they work on many projects, but that's like the big secret one. Mm-hmm. That's what during the night y'all were tasked with listening to. But the interference, the repeating radio signal, was a terrestrial origin.
Ah, okay.
It was coming in on one dish.
Did we actually localize that too? I have written down dish one.
Right. So, I thought you had found which dish. And I thought it was the one that derailed.
And that is out to the west. I have that written
right.
down.
And if I could get freaking roll 20 to work here, I'd have to scan this in. I've been a little crazy lately. Okay. Yeah, dish one is the furthest dish west. It is a fixed dish. So if you in the GPCA, it's a cruciform array. So think of a cross. Okay. The left hand of basically the administration building, the control tower, the staff quarters are between the east and the southern arms, right nestled up in the armpit of it, essentially. Okay. The western arm rails go all the way out. It's showing here, it's probably about 3 to 3.5 miles of distance in rails. The furthest dish out that is a fixed dish is dish one. And that was the one that was receiving the radio signal. So, and now the one that derailed was one of the mobile dishes on that arm known as dish A. There are two mobile dishes on that arm, dish A and B.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that help any?
When he talked about the derailment, was it on the same arm or was it on a different arm? Or
it was on that arm, yes.
It was on that
western arm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So basically, if you think about the cross of the GPCA, mm-hmm. you know, you've got mobile dishes. There's a total of five dishes, dishes A through E, that can move along the rails.
Okay.
But usually you'll keep at least one dish on each rail, north, west, south, and east. There are also fixed dishes along the rails that do not move. And starting with the western arm, there's dish 1 through 4. Then you go to where's 5 and 6? Five is the main dish. What the staff calls the salad bowl. It's on top of the control tower,
gotcha.
Which is pretty much right near the center. It's in the armpit of the eastern and southern arms.
Okay.
And then you'll have dish 8, which is fixed, which is on the northern arm. Dish 6 and 7, which are fixed on the eastern arm, and dish 9, which is fixed on the southern arm. So, anyhow, there you go.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. I need to get that scanned in. That would help, wouldn't it?
So I believe Daniel is looking rather shaken because he failed a sanity roll and he's sort
that's
of,
right. You did lose a few points
he's,
there.
He's just got a bit of a strange expression on his face as he is telling you all this.
Oh wow! I guess I think we should get out there try to figure out what. Did you take a look at this this dish out there?
No. Well, we.
Do you think you're up for it? Should we try to determine where the signal came from, possibly, and why this dish came off the rail?
It's pretty late. Couldn't we do that tomorrow?
Yeah, we do probably need to catch a bit of shut eye there, dude.
Oh well, I have this real great way of staying awake. This is important. I mean, this is, you know, just happened. I mean, do we want to wait till morning when the, you know, the celestial trail is cold? I don't know.
At this point, I'll probably, you know, go along with whatever people say. So I'm not putting up a big argument either way.
Well, Glavin, you know, we gotta figure this out, man. You know, for the DG, you know.
The what?
Excuse me. I mean just something I made up. Sorry. No, I mean, we never sleep. We're marshals. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
If this hadn't happened immediately after just seeing the weirdest thing he's ever seen, he'd probably be a bit more on the ball, but he's just going to...
And it's like, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm Gary's next target.
Gary and you will have a quiet talk out in the fields.
No, but I would totally encourage that we go out there and try to figure out what's going on. I mean, you know, we're kind of waiting. You know, we could be losing time here. I say we go out to that dish and you know, try to figure out what those lights were.
I am actually role playing because I am also very tired. I am feeling Glavin today. If you two young whippersnappers want to go and check that stuff out, I've been doing a lot of driving today, so I'm.
All right. Why don't you test the walkie-talkie? Would the walkie-talkie actually get out to where Gary is? I guess we would hope that we would have brought that up before we left. But, you know, maybe get set up some sort of communication between us.
Out of character, I'm going to say to use it, because most of those walkie-talkies like that, I've actually used them before. The little handheld Motorolas, it's almost line of sight.
No problem. Cool. So, industrial version or something.
Okay. It would work, but that would definitely be a luck roll, and I might even impose penalties.
Yeah, so. No problem.
But okay, well, hey. Go ahead. In character, take it with you. I mean, don't discount it. Take it with you.
It might work. Glaive, why don't you try to get a hold of Gary out there, and you know, maybe we'll get lucky, and we'll go check out the dishes, try to figure out what's going on here.
Keep in contact, though. You know, we don't want to
Yeah, we'll definitely have ours on. So
So you know.
Yeah, we probably can't reach him, but we can relay between us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
Not like there's a phone.
Let me make sure I understand what's about to happen. Hendry is gonna drag Dr. Hayes against his will out
while
into
he's
the
half
field.
Mad.
Out into the field. He's not half mad. He's just a little disturbed. I mean, a 3-point Sandy loss.
He's sleep deprived,
and
yeah.
And he's also high on aqua velva fumes off Jack Bernard. So, you know. So you're gonna drag him against his will out into the fields in the witching hour. Glavin is you're going to leave in the staff quarters, who's already pretty tired because he drove most of the day here with a walkie-talkie. And then Gary is back at Stephen Wood's house, basically to watch over Stephen, right? I mean, is that what's going on?
Basically, I want to see that if there's some kind of break-in, I want to be there.
Okay.
We have broken rule one of Cthulhu. Never split the party.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's more fun that way.
Is Agent Gary going to attempt to stay awake all night, or are you going to get some shut-eye?
I figure that I'm going to, like, rig stuff before the doors so that I can hear if somebody enters, and then I'm going to go to sleep.
Okay. All right, well, give me your set traps roll, then.
What? Is that really a thing? I'm just putting stuff in front of the door.
This isn't Dungeons and Dragons.
I know. Do either a craft, carpentry, or mechanical repair. One of those. I mean, if you're just rigging up something like some soup cans or something, I mean, give me some sort of roll there. Make me happy. Come on.
I'm gonna give you a roll. 96, so I obviously fail anyway.
Okay, Steven stops you because you're picking up his mother's china. And he's like, no, put that back. That's been in the family for generations. No. And he hands you some actual cowbells and some rope.
Hey,
here you go.
That's much better. Awesome.
I knew somebody was going to make the joke. Thank you, Sam. More cowbell. Okay. So
I'm
going
to go to sleep.
But you are going to go to sleep. Okay,
yes.
Good. We'll get back to you. As you're bedding down on the couch, you know, gun by your side and you know, badge, all that sort of stuff, Steven is taking a hot shower because he says he's got a long day tomorrow of, you know, or farm work.
Yeah.
So he's going to take a hot shower and he's going to bed. So now we go over to Glavin. You're just going to basically hang out in Dr. Hayes' room with the walkie-talkie. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, but you're pretty tired, so you may drift closer to sleep. So I think for you, we're going to need a POW times 5 roll to see if you can stay awake.
With my new dice, let's see how lucky they are. 25 under 65. I succeed.
You succeed. All right, we'll get back to you. All right. Now, back to the two people who will go out to the field. So, what is the plan for you two? You're just going to wander the grounds? Is there some place specifically you want to go?
Well, I would think we'd want to get to the derailed one. And didn't you just mention that Jim Davis had worked on it? Maybe we should check with him. Maybe he can either get us transport out there or assist us or give us more information about what happened.
Yeah, sure. Whatever, dude.
Well, if I remember correctly, Dr. Hayes had, after he left the control tower, had gone over to the workshop to find either the head maintenance, Gary, or the deputy maintenance guy, Jim, and he found Jim asleep on a cot in there. So Dr. Hayes can relay that to you, that he'd seen Jim asleep in the workshop. So,
well, what do you think, Hayes? You think they might be able to give us some more information? Or should we just go it alone?
I think they're asleep.
Everybody's sleeping around here. What's going on?
I really should be.
All right, well, let's go check this ourselves then. You don't think that's going to be worth it?
Sorry.
I'm going to start talking really fast now.
It's so confusing, and cats are stealing my dice.
Meanwhile, Dr. Hayes is hallucinating now from lack of sleep.
So, Hayes, you gotta tell us where it's at. Where is this dish? Let's get there. Let's go to the rail dish.
I point somewhere in probably the right. There's a 50-50 chance I point in the right direction.
Jeez.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, there's rails on the ground, so it's not like they can navigate roll.
I think it's west. I'm not sure, but if you can tell me which one it is, we're gonna, you know.
I do you know what I'll say? Okay, if your character can make a persuade or fast talk roll, I'll go along with this. Otherwise,
okay,
I'll fall asleep.
Okay, I'll try. Oh, come on, this is for the marshals need this. It's an hot three. Hooray!
Wow.
I am determined.
Okay, yeah, it's over here. Dish
You give a Churchill fight them on the beaches level speech. Well done, sir.
Yes.
Dr. Hayes is like, for science!
I feel like I've just had three double espressos. Let's go.
For the marshal service.
Well, how do we get a vehicle around here? They got to have like a golf cart or something.
How did you
like
get
that,
here? Didn't you drive here?
Well, we don't want to take ours out there. I mean, they got to have some small, you know, like a Cushman or something that we could get on and ride on out. You know, one of those little electric things. I assume they do. Is that a? I guess that's a question for the keepers or something that we could acquire.
Did I see one earlier when I was there?
Yes, you did see vehicles in there.
Then I will march off in that direction, saying, "Follow me."
Okay. I'm with you.
All right. So you go to the workshop and you head in the doors. And it's just like you were there. I mean, there's the parts storage, tool shop, the main workshop with the cot in the corner. There's the garage. You've got the big box truck, the old Jeep, a pickup. And there's one of those little John Deere Gators that basically it's a little four-wheel all-terrain vehicle, like a Polaris sort of thing. So.
So nothing electric. That might be a little bit more silent.
No.
Yeah, okay. Well, could two fit on a gator, or is that...
Yeah, you could fit two people on the bench seat, and then there's a little dump bed in the back, so...
Are you a driving, Mr. Hayes? Dr. Hayes?
Well, let's just say, for every 100 potential driving incidents, I might be... moderately successful in the 35 of them.
Okay. That's excellent. It's a lot better than what I have. Looks like
you're just severely sleep deprived, so there you go.
And Henry is just not noticing you're babbling.
That's a lot better than what I have, so yes, okay. Let's go.
Yes.
All right.
Onwards. So,
hey, do you need anything before we leave to check this stuff out? You need a laptop or something, or I mean, I guess what would we need to check this out? We should probably make sure we're supplied for investigating the dish.
I don't think a laptop would be much help. What am I going to plug it into? It's not like there'd be a USB slot on the side.
There might be a parallel port. You never know.
Oh, blast from the past.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. Let's go check it out.
You roll a double out and attempt to hot swap a parallel port.
Oh!
I'll make sure I grab a flashlight.
Okay. All right. Okay, cool. So you fire up the gator and pull out and start heading down the western rail out to the ditches. So as you're driving along, brrr, little engine, because these things are loud, by the way. Yeah. If you've ever been on one, it's like, wow. They're not really, they have a muffler, sort of. So y'all are heading down the rails in the dark of night, little lights cutting through the darkness. And why don't the two of you make me a spot hidden roll at half to account for the darkness? Actually, Dr. Hayes, you could give me, you don't need to impale your spot hidden because you're desperately trying to drive this thing.
Actually, 23 out of 53, so I made it.
Failed.
Okay. You fail. Okay. So you're flying along down the rail. And Agent Hendry, as you're looking around, you pass one, you know, these things, they just tower over you. Have you ever seen Contact with Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, that's actually the New Mexico Very Large Array, but it's the same thing. I mean, these dishes are huge.
Okay.
And another one would be the opening scene of 2010. They show those too. Mm-hmm. So you pass one that's a fixed dish, and you're driving along. You pass another one that's on the rails on your left, and you're coming up on another one, and you see a light briefly illuminate on the body of a dish and then flick off. Now, it's dark out here. There are no lights illuminating the dishes.
Right.
The only thing you're seeing by is your headlights, but there's this fixed dish, right, and you saw a light come on briefly on the body of the dish and then go off.
Oh, hey, stop. And, hey, stop.
What? Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, did you see that over there? And I point to the dish, and I'm like, there's a light up there. There's somebody up there.
No, I didn't
Dr.
see
Hayes, Dr. Hayes, you can give me a knowledge roll. I'm going to say it half because you're not that familiar yet with the GPCA. Basically, this would be your quick orientation.
That is a success.
Yay. Okay. This is dish three. It is the second fixed dish along the western arm. You are, in terms of distance, approximately halfway down the western arm of the GPCA.
Okay.
So.
I'll pass that all on.
All right. Well, wait, is he supposed to be there at this time?
What is what supposed to be there?
The whoever's up there poking around.
I look up there and do I see anything?
You don't know. So, you've stopped the gator, and yeah. You know Hendry's pointing towards dish three, and you don't see it there.
The only reason you know that
dish three is there is because of the glow of the headlights on the gator. You can see the silhouette of the bulk of it outlined from the faint glow of the headlights.
Right. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, no, there's a light up there. Is there supposed to be somebody out here at this hour? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how this place works.
I think you're seeing things. There's no lights up there.
Yeah, there's somebody up there. That's kind of odd, isn't it? Somebody's. Well, actually, why don't we go check it out? Why don't we at least check the base? I mean, you know, the guy walked out here. Maybe there's a vehicle.
With his 3 persuade roll, I'll just say, yeah, okay. Come on, then.
So, okay. I guess, check the base. Try to see if there's any vehicles around. And obviously, start to keep an eye on any... what would be this? Would there be a stairway going up? There wouldn't be like an elevator or something, right?
There's a stairway going up, yeah.
There's a stairway going up. So keep an eye on the stairway. Make sure. I guess have the flashlight out and be, you know, checking to see anybody's coming down.
Sure. I will humor him.
So you left Dr. Hayes to watch the bottom of the stairwell. What are you doing?
I'll go. Well, I don't know. Hayes, do you want to do the walk? I'll do the walk around. That's fine. I walk around the base and just try to find any vehicles. And then, once I get, I don't know how large is the base, I guess, is one thing.
It's pretty big. I mean, it's about the size of a 2-bedroom house. I mean,
okay, so it's not,
the thing
it's
is
not
enormous.
Immense. Yeah. I mean, but I mean, it's not like, you know, it's going to take me 20 minutes to get around it. So
no, I mean, you can move around about 30 seconds.
I guess, yeah, I will, I'll have my flashlight on the, flashing between the stairway and, near the ground and try to see if there's any vehicles within sight. So we can try to determine who's up there, possibly.
Okay. You do not see any vehicles parked near the dish.
He's doing this, I'll be shining my light, looking up to see if I can see anything on the dish.
Okay. All right. Due to the condition, the lightless conditions, and using a flashlight, give me a spot hidden in half, Dr. Hayes. You can both also give me a listen.
Okay.
So my spot hidden is 04. That is an impale.
Nice.
Wow.
Even it's an impale at half.
Nice.
And a listen. Do I have? Oh, I have listen.
Dr. Hayes, if you haven't already checked your spot hidden, you're going to put an eye next to it since you're impaled.
Yep.
Okay, because I didn't know if you didn't check that already.
I have checked it, but not a impale.
Yeah, I've missed my listen. Must have tripped on something.
Okay. Dr. Hayes, you do see something moving up near the body of the dish, up right near where the main tower of the dish meets the dish parabola itself. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it moves. You do see something moving up there in the faintest extreme glow of your flashlight. So there is indeed something up there.
Can I track it? Did I get a idea of how big it was, or?
It's just, it was a flutter movement. It may have been a person, for all you know, but it's obviously trying to avoid the flashlight glow.
All right. Probably a bird of some kind. Get off! Right. Yes. So I would try and, you know, find it in my view again, and I'll shout out to what is your name? Henry. Yes, Henry.
Yeah. Well, what? Hey. So
seen
I'll
something.
Rush back
seen
around.
Something.
Okay. Well, what'd you see? Something.
I'd sort of point up, and you know, I'm shining my flashlight around, trying to. If I can't describe it to him, then I'll just.
Okay. Well, I will.
I saw something.
Point. I'll pull out my little my taser gun, and I go shh, and then you know. So I got the taser. I'm doing the whole little you know Quantico step up there with the gun and the taser out. It's like, well, we'll try to stop whoever it is. So start going up the stairway.
It's probably a bird, okay. But fine, whatever.
Okay, so you're going to head up the stairway.
Yes.
I'm trying to go on what I've seen in pictures. I think it's like 3 or 4 stories to the top of this thing.
I'm sure it's going to be a long way up. Okay. And actually, make the note that if we do, you know, once again, trying to see any movement from above and, you know, I guess listen if we can, but I guess, you know, it's going to be kind of clinking up stairways, so I don't know how good that will be. But
are you going to attempt to be stealthy as you climb?
Yeah, I would try that. I'm not very good at it, but
may give me a stealth roll. Dr. Hayes, are you going to follow him, or are you going to stay at the bottom?
I will follow.
Okay, and that's a sneak, I assume?
Yes.
Almost. Oh, missed it by one.
I will watch him trying to be sneaky and also try and sneak. 09.
Oh, man.
I make
nice.
It.
Nice.
Wow, Dr. Hayes, the 10. Ninja.
The ninja.
Ninja. Sweet Jesus. He's taking all of my good roles.
He's having an out-of-body experience. This is great. Nice.
Okay, so you begin creeping up the creeping up. Now, you failed yours, right, Hendry?
Yes, I did, by one.
Okay, so you walk up, and you're trying your best to be quiet, but the metal stairs, I mean, there's a loose stair that rattles under your weight. It as it rattles behind you, you can glance back and see Hayes giving you a dirty look. So, you
this,
climb.
This would be a great opportunity for the 7E spending luck rule.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice.
It would indeed, but we're playing 6th. Oh! Alright, so as you make the top of the stairs, you play your flashlight around the landing. And you don't see anything, but you may give me a spot hidden. Okay, I got a question for you guys, because this is where my unfamiliar with the system is coming in. If you were to compare a spot hidden versus a hide roll, how would you do that on the, would it just be a straight who rolls better, or should I use the resistance table, and how would I do so?
I think it'd be resistance, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be a resistance.
It's 6th.
Okay. All right, so
I'll tell you either way, I failed miserably. So.
Okay.
I rolled a 32, so I've got a pretty good roll. I passed spot hidden, but my roll was 32, so whatever. If that makes sense on the resistance.
Well, I'm looking at the resistance table, and it only goes to 31, so I don't know how to use that on a percentage thing. So that's
so
where I'm a little confused.
What's the other stat? What's the other stat?
67% for hide.
Right, so my spot hidden is 45. So if we did 67 minus 45, what do we get?
From what I
22. I would have to roll under...
But the resistance table is for characteristics, and those are usually...
28. Maybe. Which I didn't, so I don't think it works.
What were you saying, Sam?
From what I recall, it's 50% plus the defending statistic minus the offending statistic.
Yeah, but those are for characteristics, and those are usually 1/5.
Yeah, but I think you can do it.
Because
when it's 1/5, then what you actually do is you multiply that by 5 and take that away from 50. So it's still the same thing. But anyway, the point is, I fail.
Okay, let's just say you fail.
I fail.
Magnus, the music is great. I'm enjoying it, but that was swelling a little loudly there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hear it at the same volume that you do, so...
Oh, okay. Well, what you had it before was fine. In fact, right now it's great. It just should be a little background, but yeah, it was swelling.
Exactly the same.
So. Okay. All right, so both of you fail your spot hidden. So you're standing on the topmost landing. You're playing your flashlights around. You're not seeing anybody up here. The bulk of the dish is right above your heads at this point. So what do y'all want to do? I mean, the landing does wrap around the body of the dish, so you could continue around, or you could just go back down. What do y'all want to do?
So, Hayes, are you armed?
I'm armed with science.
Are you armed, sir? Should we just walk around in opposite directions and try to ferret this guy out?
I think we lost Jonathan.
He's
still in the call, I think.
Nick, sorry.
Oh, hey, no problem.
Oh, the cats did mic, get you. So,
no, I was just saying, I have ability with firearms, but I'm assuming I don't. Yeah, it's like just going down the shooting range a couple of times. It's not. I carry a gun everywhere I go.
Right. So, all right. Well, I think I should give you the. I'll take the gun. You take the. The tasers, because I'm a little bit more skilled, I guess. But
okay,
yeah. So here, I'll give you the taser. Just, you know, we'll try not to shoot each other.
That's as we all. Go around, yeah, I'll just shoot the first person I see. So
I'm very distinctive. You know this. Okay, so yeah. So why don't
so
we?
I have,
why don't
I have
we
the taser in one hand and the flashlight in the other, and I'll be
right. So we'll go around opposite directions and try to. Get whoever is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you go around one side of the landing, you go around the other. Mm-hmm. Henry goes around the other. Okay. Do y'all want to be stealthy while you do this, or are you just walking around?
I think I do. I will try a stealth. We'll see if it works. Okay. I don't know if it will, because it's not great. Oh, I was stealthy. 29 out of 35.
This time, okay. I roll 84 out of 10, so...
Okay. Oh. Let's put it this way. So, Hendry, you go around the right side of the body of the dish, and you're creeping along. You're doing everything they trained you at Quantico, you know, soft footsteps, arms in the right place with the gun and the flashlight. Dr. Hayes goes around the other side. And Hayes, as you're walking along, your foot very gently kicks a metal plate, and it goes skittering across it's not diamond plate, but you know the...
raised little...
indentures. Grill. Yeah. Real work that you step on, so it rains
right through.
So it goes skittering across. It's very loud, and, you know, it echoes. And you sort of cringe, but you've kicked
this out. Plate. Sorry.
Okay, so you keep walking around the other side, and both of you can make me listen rolls now, because you're coming around the body of the dish. You can see each other's flashlights, and you can make me listen rolls.
Oh, 45 out of 40. Yeah, missed.
See, I have a 45 skill, but I rolled 53, so...
Okay. All right, so you come around the other side of the dish and see each other.
Whoa. Do I shoot? Do I make a power roll? No.
What?
No.
What? What the...
There's nothing up here. Happen? It was a bird. It probably flew away.
Hendry, you did hear him kick a piece or step or kick or something, a piece of metal that went skittering across the landing.
Okay. I guess I will immediately flash up into the dome and try to see if there's anybody like scaling it or something weird like that.
No, nobody is attempting the James Bond the outside.
I will look down, so I will shine my flashlight down beneath us, see if anyone is going down the stairs or climbing down.
Give me a spot hidden.
Oh yes, 04.
Well, you catch a glimpse of somebody's head rushing down the stairs.
There's someone down there.
Okay, run.
Try to shine my flashlight in that direction.
Okay, so who's going after him?
I am totally running as fast as I can down there.
Okay.
So I'll go, freeze, federal marshals!
Okay, now you remember the stairway, it's like a stairway, it crisscrosses around the body. So it's like, if you go to the top of the landing and point your gun down, you're not going to see the guy.
Right, I mean, right. He's That's what I'm trying to get over. Down is... Wait a minute, cross. Okay. Oh, it crisscrosses across the body. Okay.
Right, it wrapped the staircase wrapped around the body of the dish.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, I'm just going to run down. I'm going to try to get there as soon as I can.
Am I now sure I've seen a person?
Yes, it was a human being.
I'm going to try and illuminate him from above so that while Hendry is going down, he will be able to see where this person is. So I'm trying to illuminate the target for Hendry.
Okay. All right. That, I don't know what kind of role would cover that, because the train spotlight skill was not put in by Sandy Peterson, sadly. So I'm open to suggestions on training a spot flashlight.
Dex?
Also, maybe? Yeah, probably a Dex.
Probably a combined Dex and spot hidden role. Because you need to be able
He already made the spot hidden, okay, so he knows what to look for. Yep. So I'm thinking he's got that. But just to keep it trained, maybe a Dex times 5 straight up.
Okay.
How do we handle running in Call of Cthulhu?
That I don't know.
Oh, the 6th edition chase 7th
rules. Edition has chase rules.
Yeah.
Ugh, crap. Hang on. Let me flip to the back.
Wouldn't running be like a Dex times 5 rule or something?
Monster speeds. Let's see. Azathoth is speed 0.
Yes, when you exist everywhere.
It's growing.
Oh, they have chase rules in 6?
No, I don't think so. I think the chase rules.
They have it for 7. Cars. It's vehicle chases.
Ah, okay.
I think it's basically comes down to a contest of cons, because the problem is 6th edition assumes all human beings run about the same.
Right. Yeah.
So.
You could do a series of dex rolls.
Well, since it's also in the middle of the night, there should probably be dex rolls as well, to see that you don't slip and fall or something.
I would agree. So let's do this. Dr. Hayes, give me your dex times 5 to see if you can keep the flashlight trained, because you're going to have to keep moving around the landing to train the flashlight.
Success. It's a dex by 4.
All right, you've got him in the light, so... All right. So, Hendry, you and I are going to have a roll-off of dex versus dex. So we'll do, I guess, dex times 5 is pretty much the standard.
All
right. If you're doing contested rolls, that's what the resistance table is for.
Oh, right. All right. Okay, hang on a second. And then we'd have to do con.
Yeah, let's see.
Well, I think for running, it would be con.
Right? Yes.
And then we'll do individual dex rolls to make sure you don't fall and wipe out.
Yeah.
So, all right, let me turn to my resistance table here. Okay, so I have a con of 15. That's going to be passive, because you're the active. You're trying to catch him. So
yeah, I got a 13. What is,
you've got a 13. So you have a 40% chance to keep up. I'm reading this right.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, here we go. No, 97.
Wow.
And hit your head.
Okay.
And fall unconscious.
That's just for the running. I mean, basically, let's put it this way. Hendry, you're not in the best of shape because you've got various issues. So by the time you make the bottom rung of the stairs, you're like, your heart is throbbing in your chest. The blood is pounding in your ears. You're clutching at your side. You're starting to see stars. So give me the dex times 5 to make sure you don't stumble.
All right, let's hope.
You're not keeping up with this.
Yes, that was fine. 29 out of 70.
Okay, you don't stumble, but by the time you make the bottom rung, he's taken off. You're just desperately trying to catch your breath.
Damn it!
Dr. Hayes, you're, again, about 4 stories in the air. You've got a flashlight. And you have caught the guy with the flashlight, but let's do it this way. I'm going to say you'll need a spot hidden at half to get any relevant detail about the guy as he disappears into the dark. And if you impale, you're really good. So give me a spot hidden.
Fail.
Okay. So, I mean, the best you could tell as he ran off into the night is he had brown hair and it was a male profile and it went running off into the night. Right. So,
do I smell any aquavelva?
No. You smell with that, that would be automatic success.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Okay. No, you smell brute. Oh, God, even worse.
So, and he doesn't go towards the gator. He just runs off into the night.
Runs off into the dark, yeah. Now, Dr. Hayes, you are still on the top landing.
Yeah, did I just see him? He ran off. He didn't get on a vehicle because we didn't see any vehicles. So.
Ran off into the dark.
Weird.
I will wander down the stairs.
No, actually, okay. You know, I will yell up to Hayes. Hey, wait, we need to check up there. See what he was doing. See if there's anything that has been changed.
Oh, thank God. That's just gonna make you come for idea rolls.
Okay, I will.
See if anything's altered up there. I'll be right up.
Looking at the dish with my knowledge of dishes.
Okay. Do you have any electrical repair or mechanical repair?
I do have electrical.
Oh, nice. Good.
I have it at the same level as my mechanical repair. My mechanical repair has a base of 20, and my electrical repair, which has a base of 10, I put up to 20. So, yes.
Nice.
Clearly an extra.
Better than nothing.
What am I rolling? One of those? Both of those?
You can do both of them. I mean, you're looking at a mechanical and electrical situation, so.
Okay, I fail what we'll call the electrical repair.
Okay.
And I pass the mechanical repair.
Nice.
Believe.
Okay. Because you failed the electrical repair, you're not able to tell specifically what was done. But the mechanical repair, somebody has removed an access cover. Mm-hmm. And has actually accessed some subsystems of this dish. You're not sure exactly what it is, but somebody was monkeying around. The person was monkeying around with this dish.
Okay. Does it look like they were just... does it look clumsy, like they were just sabotaging it? Or does it look like they were, you know, cutting individual wires? Or, you know, did it look like they know what they were doing?
There was no actual damage. Nothing's been cut. Oh. Nothing is damaged. But somebody was accessing subsystems. But because you failed the electrical repair, you're not entirely sure what they were doing.
Sure.
But access cover, the main access cover has been removed. There are screws missing. Things have been opened. So somebody was messing around with this. And okay. At, you know, 1:30, 1:45 in the morning, you shouldn't be doing this.
No.
Okay. So, okay.
When, yeah, actually, now, could I do a check as myself as I got up? I mean, it's base, but at least it's something. Maybe I'll pick something up. Yeah. Wow. Oh, 14 out of 10. No, I
don't. Oh.
Bummer.
Nope.
Yes. No.
I'll tell Hendry to shine his flashlight so that I'm going to take a picture on my cell phone of the...
Sure.
What's okay. happened.
Just excellent the, idea. Hayes.
Here, all right, just give me a photography roll for shits and giggles.
God. 0.6.
Oh,
wow.
Sweet.
Okay. What is your base photography skill?
10. Yes, base 10.
Nice. Well, it's not an impale, but you can go ahead and check it. And remember to check your mechanical repair, too, so you made that. Wow, Dr. Hayes is rocking.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that you've done this, are you going to continue out to Dish 1 like you had originally planned, or are you going to head back? What's the plan?
How long has this taken?
The drive out there only took maybe 2 to 3 minutes. I mean, you've been dealing with this for probably a minute, minute and a half. I mean, you know, you walked up the top, you've been gone from the staff quarters at most, maybe 10 minutes, you know?
But I will look to the experience.
Hey, actually, Marshall. I'll get on the radio and say, Glavin, you out there? Glavin.
Okay. Yes, yeah, you're within enough distance that, yes, the radio does pick up. All right, so he's coming in. A little bit of static, not much, but you can have a conversation.
This Glavin, is Glavin.
Glavin, good, you're out there. You got to get outside, and you got to check to see if anybody is coming in the perimeter. There's somebody that was messing with Dish 3, I think, and I couldn't catch him. We got some pictures of what was happening, but we don't know. You got to see who's coming in, or if there's any strangeness, you know, somebody walking the perimeter that the security knows about or something. We have somebody monkeying with the works.
All right, I'll go out and have a look. Over.
Thanks, man.
Pockets the walkie-talkie, makes sure he's got his gun, and goes out and has a look.
Okay, so you leave the staff quarters. Where do you want to go? The control tower is to your west, with the large dish on top. The workshop is across the rail from it to your, basically your due north from you. The administration building is due south, and they went all the way out on the west, on the western arm. So where do you want to go?
Oh, well, given that they went I get back on the radio. Which direction did they come, was he running in? Over.
We're on the west side here.
So do you want to head towards the central intersection of the rails near where the control tower is?
I head towards the central intersection because.
Okay, so you start walking. Now keep in mind, it's dead dark out here, other than some ground lights that illuminate the control tower.
I've got my torch out. You know.
Okay. All right.
Making sure that I don't do anything stupid, like trip over a Cthulhu idol or something.
All right, so you start walking, you're flashing your flashlight around. You can make me a listen roll if you want. Spot hidden roll as well.
All right, you dice, don't fail me now. Let's see, listen, with it. I make my listen by one.
Nice.
And... do we even need to ask about my spot hidden?
All right, so you wander pretty much dead center on the intersection of the rails. You're listening, you're looking, you're not seeing anything, you're not hearing anything. And your radio crackles to life. And it starts up, you know, basically like someone's sending you a transmission, it comes on, and then you start hearing a string of numbers in a buzzing voice. 21, 38, 6, 1,000, 99, 13, 48. And this goes on for about 30 seconds, and then the transmission stops.
Crazy Russian number line.
Yeah. Do we hear this?
No.
Only him. Wow. Interesting.
So, you have seen nobody, you have heard nobody, other than your walkie-talkie suddenly crackling to life with that transmission.
Like, that's Agent Hendry?
Yeah.
That's Hendry, did you hear that?
Hear what? What'd you see?
Hendry does not receive a message.
Oh, I don't hear.
You get only static back, Agent.
Okay.
Glavin.
Hendry, are you hearing me? Over.
38, 9, 28, 7, 800, 36, 100.
Write these numbers down. Write them down.
As the numbers start up again, it's like I pull out a piece, you know, it's like pull out a piece of paper, lean it against my arm, and a pen, lean it against my arm, and I'm writing down the numbers that it's like, you know, because they might be, you know, I don't know much about this newfangled occult business, but...
I don't know much about this newfangled radio.
Wireless.
I don't know much about this, you know, wireless what the fuckery, but these numbers sound important.
Okay, you managed to get them jotted down. I won't make you roll anything for it, but you do manage to get it jotted down, so there. Okay, so with that being said, you write them down, but honestly, after that, nothing really happens. I mean, you can walk around the grounds, but you will not see anybody or hear anybody. And you have no more mysterious transmissions on your walkie-talkie.
After the second lot of transmissions, I try. It's like, Hendry, are you there? Do I get through to him this time?
No.
I start hitting the try and tune method of hitting the piece of technology to try and make it work. Why are you not working? I'm glaring at it, and he starts glaring at the you're like, why are you not working, you useless piece of Japanese technology?
It does not transmit to Henry. You do not receive any messages from him.
Oh.
Technology has forsaken us. Oh.
As much as I want to end with Magnus's character scene, we still have half an hour left. So I'm going to go to Magnus, get him a scene in.
Excellent.
But the problem is, Magnus, this scene will put you into the next day. So I don't know if our two yahoos out on the Western Arm are going to attempt anything else this evening, but I feel I need to draw you into this, okay?
Yep, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Magnus, you bed down for the night, got everything set up there on the coffee table and drift off to a troubled, fitful sleep.
Yeah.
Full of images of thunderstorms, blackbirds, and locusts. As you begin to dream, you are drawn into what you recognize as a REM dream, probably.
Yep.
And you up on Steven's couch. And there's a knocking at the door. So it's daytime. Light streaming in through the windows. And you're obviously in the living room you fell asleep in. But somebody's knocking on the door.
I take my gun. I read it. And then I look around to see if Steven's there.
He does not appear to be in the house right now.
Okay, so I hide my gun behind my back and I open the door.
Okay. There is a person standing at the door. You can give me a spot hidden roll. The person appears to be a white male, about 6 foot high, brown hair, bland features, and you caught him in mid knock, but you could give me a spot hidden.
32, that's a pass.
Okay. You notice there's something obviously wrong about this person. When you look around the edges of their face, and at the intersection of their arms and their hips, there are gears there. You can hear a whirring of gears and springs. If you look into his eyes, you can almost see gears moving behind his eyes. It's like this person's an automaton made of clockwork. And right. As you do this, you're staring at them. The person says to you, please help. Car crash. Need help. Injury. Please come.
I take a few steps back and I draw my gun.
The person puts his hands up in the air. No, no harm. Need help. Need your help, please. Car crash.
I call out for Steven.
There is no answer. By the way, you can make me a sand roll for seeing the clockwork humanoid.
Yeah, I 54, so that's a fail.
Okay. It's just a D2, so let's see. You may take 1 point for that.
Okay. Turn around and put your hands behind your head.
He turns around. He laces his hands behind his head, and you notice that each of his fingers has a little gear clockwork running it. And as he turns around, there's actually a key in his back, like a wind-up key on a doll, and it's clicking away. And you can hear him say once again, please help. Car wreck. Need help. Injury. Come with me. Okay. You cuff him without a problem.
Yeah.
He continues saying, please help. Car wreck. Injury. Need your assistance.
I'm gonna move him forward and step out onto the porch and to see if I can see anything.
Yes. Now you are on the same street that Steven is on. I mean, you recognize the houses you saw as you came here this night. Steven's car is missing from the driveway, but there is a car across the street that has run into a telephone pole and is wrecked. It's a big four-door sedan. Looks like a what you'd say is a really older model, like a 19 30s maybe model. I mean, you can't place it specifically, but it's not something somebody would be driving today unless it was an antique, you know?
Yeah.
And it has really thoroughly wrapped itself around the telephone pole. And there's a woman standing next to it and dressed in basically a house dress. I mean, it's a checkered dress. And she has curlers in her hair, and she's standing with her back turned to you, and she's got a key coming out of her back, and you can hear her crying in almost a mechanical tone. And it's, ha, 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 ha.
Okay.
And the man just continually repeats, please help, injury, car wreck, need help.
What's your injury?
In car, and he attempts to point, but he's handcuffed with his hands behind his back now. So he sort of points to the shoulder, in car.
Okay, so I lead him to the car and lead him hurriedly to the car to take a look at it.
Okay. The car, you look in the back seat. The front seat's just totaled.
Yeah.
And you can give me an idea check. You can either do an idea check, or if you want it just for fun, mechanical repair, one would work.
60. So that's a fail for idea and definitely a fail for mechanical repair.
Okay, you're just not in your right mind right now. I can't understand why. Anyways, okay, you can see in the back seat. I mean, there's mangled metal, broken glass everywhere. You can smell gasoline. You know, the car, it feels hot, like maybe there's a fire about to start. Steam's coming from the front of the car. You can see there's a form trapped in the back seat, and it looks like a dog. You can only see the back of it, but you can see maybe it's a border collie. It's brown and white, but its form is very clearly trapped in the back seat.
Yeah.
And the man is just saying, please help, injured. And the woman just continues to cry in her weird mechanical tone. You can see on the other side of the car a child, probably about 9 years old, and it looks the same thing as the man. It's the gears obvious. You can hear the sound of clockwork running. And it's pointing at the car going, save him, save him, save Fluffy, please.
Okay, so I'm going to attempt to open the door, and I'm going to pull back as soon as I have.
Give me a strength times 5 roll, please.
84, so no, that's not a pass.
Okay. All right. You can try it either a mechanical repair roll, or you can go around the other side and try to access it from the side the little boy is on.
I'm trying the other side then.
Okay. All right. Give me another strength times 5.
81. So that's a fail again.
Okay. All right. Tell you what. Give me an idea roll.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to take my – since I already have my gun, I'm going to use the –
Right.
The butt to crash the window.
Okay, yeah, that succeeds. They won't have to roll. The glass shatters under the impact of your gun butt.
Yeah.
Give me another idea roll real fast while you're doing that.
67. That's a fail.
Okay, you were just going with it, man. All right, so you were able to reach in and open the passenger side rear door, and the door swings open. The dog
off.
Is sort of wedged underneath a seat that's been pushed on top of it. You can see a little bit of maybe blood leaking out from the dog, but you're going to have to move that seat to help it.
But that dog looks non-mechanical.
It looks non-mechanical, that's right.
Okay. Am I at the head end of the dog or the ass end of the dog?
That's why you need that idea roll that you just failed, but I'll give you another one. This time you can double it because you're as a player, you're starting to catch on.
80, so give me but a double idea. For a double idea, that's a pass.
Okay. You realized when you first walked up to the car with the man and the woman,
yeah,
you saw the back of the dog.
Yeah.
And then you went around the other side where the child was and opened the door from the inside, and you're looking at the back of the dog.
What the hell is this? Well, since it's the back of the dog, I move the seat because it's sort of safe. But then
okay,
I...
give me a...
Yeah, sure. What do you want to roll?
Give me a strength times or a 5 roll.
46, that's
come on,
pass.
Man. You gotta... Yes! Finally!
Yeah.
you, you manage to wrench the seat away from the dog, freeing it. And the dog sort of wiggles itself free. There's a little whining noise. It lifts itself up from the floor and turns around, and it turns to face you.
Yeah.
And it has a human face.
Oh.
Not clockwork, not mechanical. It is a human face. And then its eyes begin to flash in a glowing colors. And one flashes one color, one flashes the other. They flash together. It goes back and forth like this. And you may give me a sand roll.
74, that's a fail.
Okay, give me a, let's see, that's a D6. Ooh. That's 6 points. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, and you wake up.
Great.
And you're laying on Steven's couch. The sunlight from the morning is creeping in through the windows.
Yeah.
And you're lying, you're wide awake, and you only take 1 point of sand total.
Oh, that's nice.
That's very nice.
So, it is the next morning for you now.
I grab my gun.
Okay.
And I get up out of bed and I take a look around.
You're in Steven's living room. Morning sun's coming up.
Has the cowbells been disturbed at all?
Nope.
What the hell's going on? What kind of dream was that? What time is it?
It's about 6 a.m.
Oh, well. I better get dressed then. And I assume that Steven's getting up as well since he's working the fields, right?
Actually, if you want to glance in his bedroom, he's already gone. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll get dressed and since he's already gone, I'm just going to leave. There's no point in waiting around.
All right.
I'm going to go back to the motel, and I suppose it's better to cut back to the other guys now.
Okay. All right, so you head back to the motel. Now, wrapping up the evening's festivities there, Sam, was Glaving going to do anything else? I mean, his radio's not working, so were you going to do anything else or continue to stand there all night or go back to Hayes' quarters? What were you going to do?
Just
hello,
like
Sam.
Had my mic on silent during that scene because I was rambling to myself while doing things. Anyway, since he can't, he's assuming that since he can't send any messages, he can't receive any messages. So he's going to head back. He's going to wait about 10 minutes, try again, and if he still can't get anything, he heads back to the quarters.
Okay. All right. But jumping back to Hendry and Hayes, what are you two going to do?
I personally, Hendry's pretty amped up now. I think he feels that he needs to get to number one and try to see if there's anything similar out that way.
Okay. What about you, Dr. Hayes?
Sure.
All right. Well, y'all head out to Dish One, and, you can take a look at it, and around there, Dish 1 and Dish A, which is the mobile dish, is all the way out there with Dish 1 as well. And y'all could, if you care, Dr. Hayes, but definitely, Hendry, you could give me some spot hiddens.
Okay. Yeah. 36 out of 53.
I just failed by one.
Oh, hate those.
Okay, who passed, who failed?
I passed.
Okay. All right, and Hayes, you failed or passed?
Failed.
Okay. Hendry, you see nothing special about Dish 1, which is receiving those radio transmissions. Nothing that would really be obvious to you of, oh, okay, well, that's for radios. It's just, it's a dish. You're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You do look at Dish A, the mobile dish, and Hayes had mentioned to you it had gotten derailed.
Okay.
And you're looking at it, and you know, you can't see anything obvious why it would derail. I mean, there's no broken track. I mean, no ties moved. So nothing to you that would say, obviously, this is why this dish derailed.
Okay.
Wasn't it fixed, though, anyway? By
Yes. Yes. So, Jim and Gary had fixed it. So.
What does it actually mean when it derails? It's on rails so they can move about, and it actually physically leaves the rails?
If it had physically left the rails, it would have fallen off. But basically, it would probably have gotten stuck. It was
right. Sure. Okay. So that makes more sense. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think there's something you could look at here? See if it's been tampered with at all, or see if anything's out of order?
I will humor him.
All right. If you're looking at dish one, which got the radio transmission, give me an electrical repair roll. Or I would also take computer use if you actually want to check the subsystems on this dish.
Okay, well, my computer use is 60, so my electrical repair is 20. Can I make both or either one or the other?
You can do both if you want.
Okay, let's see. Electrical repair, 41, fail. Computer use, yes, 60, success, on the dot.
Okay, all right, here's where it gets weird. Dish 1 was receiving a radio transmission. It was not received by the dish itself. It was almost as if the equipment, the receiver inside the tower, picked it up directly.
What?
Yeah. Do you want to make a sand roll for that, since you are a technician?
Yes. Yes, okay. I do. 99.
Okay. Well, it's only that would be a 0-1. So stuff like that violates physics. So you need to take a 1 point for that.
This isn't what?
What happened? What are you saying? You look a little bit bewildered.
I don't know. Let me
not possible.
Check again.
You're telling me that this thing actually receives something like from itself?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, you've looked at those algorithms and stuff. Is there something you can do to try to translate what that actually means?
I have to step away for just a minute, but y'all can talk. I might suggest an idea roll also, just saying. But
me also, or just him?
Both of you. Give me just a second.
Idea. Come on. Yes, I made it. Hooray, idea's made.
This is weird.
You are...
That's pretty weird.
Yes, it is. It's weird. Also,
who else has actually lost sanity so far? I mean,
I have not yet. But unless he wants me to do it, because you know, yeah. I'm not very intelligent, so I don't really understand this stuff.
I lost some just now.
I'm sorry.
I lost some just now. Obviously,
I haven't lost any sanity for this particular game.
We have lost it for our reading activities.
Yes. Yes, but not for this particular game. I have not lost any sanity yet.
My Thos Book Club. It is really.
Yeah.
This week we will be reading The Revelations of Glauki.
Nice.
I really like the you know, the Yogg-Sothoth games where they just share these books around and
oh, it's everybody. I've not heard many of them. I've only heard the free ones, but yeah, interesting. So they're trading the knowledge, huh?
Yeah,
deeper and deeper.
It's always nice when you get something crazy and you lose some sanity, and then you say to your other players, hey, look at this.
What does this mean? It's flipping my brain.
Yeah,
I heard that.
So we both pass our idea rolls.
Yes.
Okay. It occurs to you that maybe, because, you know, when you were back in the GPCA, Dr. Hayes, and, you know, you were getting this radio interference, and Jack mentioned this seems to be regular, you didn't really think to write it down at that point, but it occurs to you, maybe you should write this down.
Write down the, what, the data that I'm seeing, or?
Mm-hmm.
What am I actually seeing? What?
Okay. This is where out of character. I don't know what this would look like, but
because I you got me to make a computer use roll, and I specifically said I didn't bring a computer. So if I don't know, if I hooked my cell phone up or somehow, or what am I doing here?
Maybe there's a terminal on.
Again, out of character. I have never dealt with a dish like this, but I assume there would be some, you know, small monitoring terminals there at each dish. So you can see what's going on.
Right.
Can I maybe? Ow. Get off. Can I maybe? do I have a USB stick? Can I sort of download a copy?
That would be a luck roll to see if you're just carrying a flash drive. I mean,
I'm probably likely to. I got a flash drive. I always carry one around in my pocket anyway.
Wait a minute, Henry does have a flash drive. That's right.
I
don't
44.
Know if I
want
to use it.
I success.
You success. Yes, you've got a flash drive. You have one on your key ring.
Okay, then I. Then I do that. I will dump the data.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say your previous computer use success will cover you transferring this. So. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you transfer the raw transmission to your flash drive. There you go. Okay. So what else did the two of you do for the rest of the night?
Go to bed. Good damn it, man.
Well, we're not done yet. We got to get some of this information to Delta Green. Or excuse me. The
what?
Excuse me. No. Did I say that? I didn't say that. I said we got to get some of this to the marshals tonight.
What is Delta Green?
No. I didn't say anything about that. I heard you say
Delta Green.
I sneezed.
You said GG. What is that?
Would you like another shovel, Agent Henry?
Yes. Let's. Sorry. No, it's just something that us marshals use. Sorry about that. It's like a code. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I get it. Code name, sure.
Yeah, code name. Yeah. So we have this thing. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, could you help me to try to get some trans? Well, God. Can I get some computer access before we go to bed? Actually, if you just give it to me, I can do the access and.
What are you talking about? Out of character. Here's my laptop.
The session before last, y'all had tried to log on to the secure email server for Delta Green from the terminal that Dr. Bennett had set up for you guys at the administration building.
Yeah.
But you had some trouble, so y'all had said, well, if we get Dr. Hayes, maybe he can help us. So.
Right. So now I think
that's what you're trying to say. If I can interpret the Henry babble,
well, that's the thing. Would we even allow that? Now I think about it, because you know we're giving away secrets of Delta Green.
This has been decided since long. We're just letting him set up a secure connection.
Okay, that's cool. I guess I'm trying to. Go through my mind if we would even get him involved with this. So yeah, no, if that's cool, well, if it makes game sense, then I would say sure.
Well, we can get him to set up a server, you know, because we need to set up a secure server. It's more we don't tell him who we're setting up the secure server.
No, so, or what we'll be transmitting.
Okay, so now I understand. I'll say we need a little bit of your help there, Hayes. I'm sorry. Before you go to bed. If you could help us set up a secure line to the marshals, if we give you the information, we would really appreciate it. We need to get some of this evidence out to them, and we need to let them know that we are bringing it to them. And unfortunately, with all this no signal stuff, we're having a problem trying to get it set up.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Let's go back. Let's go back.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, so again, what are you doing for the rest of the night? Are you actually going to try to go to the administration building and do this?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, let's have Dr. Hayes give us one more computer use roll.
You can do it.
Sweet, do it like we told you.
So they're asking me to set up some kind of virtual private network for them to transfer secrets.
Exactly. All Dr. Bennett did was simply give y'all a login and an access to a terminal.
So they're giving me some kind of IP address or thing to connect to.
We will cue the computer use montage with images of fingers flying over a keyboard set to a nice techno-punk backbeat.
I'm hacking through the firewalls, man. 79 layers to cut through. Here we go. 17 out of 60.
Nice. All right.
They successfully set it up. Hendrick,
what was so hard? You just have to click the connect button. God.
I couldn't find it. My eyes teared up. I don't know. I have allergies.
Hendry, you do log on, and I assume you send him away at this point.
So well, actually, I would...
At this point, this screen pops up saying, Delta Green.
I would actually say... Is there any way that we can that the data that you just downloaded? Can I get a copy of that on to or could you allow me to send this in as well?
I'll give him my USB stick with all the data that I've made a copy of so far.
There you go. That was
so I don't screw it up. I'm like, I'm pretty good at computers, but this is very important. Would you mind copying this over?
I plug it in and I click on the icon and I select all the files and I drag them over to a folder on his computer.
Unix command line.
Just while looking at him as if he were a child.
I don't want to break things, that's all.
Sadly, as much as I want it to be Unix command line, it's probably Windows Server 2000.
Okay, so if you allowed him to just copy the files, then
I'm
trying
to eject the USB stick after I'm finished.
Well, actually, and I'll say also copy these photos that we found over. Well, no, okay, sure, no, I won't say that. Excuse me, I'll stop there. But sure. And then, can I roll a luck roll to see if I have an extra one?
Sure.
All right.
You're never going to let Dr. Hayes go to sleep, are you?
No. 26 out of 68. And I will copy the files. I do have one. So I'll copy the ones that we got from Steven to the new one. So we have a copy as well. And, we'll start... I'll say, okay, you can go to bed. Thanks so much for your help. You're really helping out the marshals.
Well, I sort of jerk awake in my chair. Yeah, marshals. Delta marshals. You guys.
Oh, God.
Guys
are
weird.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I will stagger off to my room.
Okay.
Go for it.
Oh, I was just going to say, I will, type up a report or whatever, however we would do this. If it's safer to send the files over the secure connection, I would do that so I get them as soon as possible. Also, whatever I would need to do to set up somebody to pick up the stuff from the green box, I would do that as well. And just let them know about the samples that we're going to bring. I guess we're going to do copies of all the data that we got from I forgot her name, the girl that was doing the grass samples.
Awesome.
Carrie, yes. I'll let them know about the existence of all these things, the metal shard that we found, and we'll get copies of the rubbings to them. Just basically bring
them
all.
The rubbing to them.
I think we're going to do an actual copy of Kinko's. Either that we do have. We have rubbings, right? So,
that's
going
a paper.
To take a picture on your cell phone.
Isn't there a scanner in an office?
Compress it as a really lossy JPEG, and.
What I was gonna do, we have two copies, so we'll give them one original, I will actually make copies of all this stuff as well, because it looks like I'm going on a midnight drive, so
okay,
medicinally powered.
Let's just say, for sake of brevity, that you get everything copied and uploaded. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, What would be your plan? Are you ever going to sleep? Or what? I
not as long as he has a bottle full of pills.
I think I'm seriously. I think I would go on a drive. We got to get the blood to him. Okay. I think I'm going to the green box.
All right. So your plan is you're going to leave town in the 15 passenger van and go drive all the way back to Omaha to the green box to deliver this, right?
I believe so. Yes. I'm going to let Clayman know about this, obviously.
Yeah. What are you going to do with Clayman? He's standing around in the parking lot.
I'm assuming it takes more than 10 minutes for these guys to get to the central build. Well, after 10 minutes of trying them, I give up and I proceed to fall asleep in Hayes's bed.
Okay. All right. So, Hendry, are you just going to leave Agent Glavin there?
No, I will let him know. I will let him know when we get back. After I get my, all the reports done, blah blah blah. Get back to the building where there's the living quarters, and I'll wake up Glavin. Ah. I tell him, hey, sorry to wake you up. I'm gonna drive out.
How do you wake him up?
Glavin, ah. just a touch on the shoulder, I guess.
You get a face full of pistol. You get a pistol.
Oh, hold it. It's me. It's Hendry. You're okay. We're with friends.
Okay. He puts his gun away. What? I tried contacting you, but...
I didn't get anything.
I couldn't hear anything from you either. He pulls out the piece of paper with them. All I was getting was these goddamn numbers. And he shoves the piece of paper. Yeah, he shoves the piece of paper with the numbers in your face.
Can I do some conspiracy theory or something like that? Or that would give me some ideas?
Cryptography or mathematics would be most appropriate. By the way, if you took Hayes' bed, Hayes, when you stumbled back and found Glavin in your bed, would you just slump in a chair or attempt to wake him up?
Or just get in.
Is there another bed?
Cuddle. No, it's a one bedroom. Spoon me.
Oh God. Yeah, I'll slump in a chair.
Okay. Alright. So you could Mr. Running on Fumes, you could give me a mathematics or cryptography.
Okay, I do have mathematics. Okay, let's see. It's not very good. No. 99.
If only you had someone in the room that knew mathematics.
Yes, who isn't asleep.
And cryptography.
If this is a math roll, it's education times two.
Yep.
Education being two. God damn it! Even on these new dice, I cannot fail.
Are you sure you're reading these right?
The big problem is that Sam doesn't actually know math, so he can't tell the difference between any of these numbers.
Oh! Okay.
One of my dice came up with a 2 and a 0, and the other one is a 4, I think.
That's a 24.
And if
that's successful.
That's a 420.
420. Wait, 420. Yes, I'm going to get blamed. No, wait, never mind.
Okay, I just the image of your character, that picture you posted, and him in a bong, does not fit in my mind. My mind broke immediately.
Yeah. Anyway.
Check.
Pretty much.
Anyway. Dresden makes a fresh look at the piece of paper with a successful maths check.
Now that you've laid down for 10 minutes and gotten a little rest, you realize you're looking at something that you need to crunch through a code breaking. So obviously, if there was somebody who was skilled in code breaking and cryptography, it would be helpful to talk to them. But it means something. It's not a random string of numbers.
All right.
Yeah, you might want to wake up Hayes there, but he's pretty tired tonight. So
yeah, I'm pretty tired tonight. We can talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got to make a run. I'm going to make a run to the green box. Is there anything else you want me to bring there?
As you say that, Hayes just sort of turns over and he goes, green box. Delta.
Oh!
Green box.
Henry, what the fuck have you been telling
him? Nothing.
Do we need to have a serious talk?
Oh, I'm all right. Oh, I, yeah.
We're coming up on time here, so let me try to get to some wrap-ups. So,
sure.
You assume you'll leave Glaven there so he can get a full night's rest, and you're going to take off the van, right?
Yes, I will. Or some other... Well, I guess I got to take the van. Yep. Yes, I'm taking off the van.
Before you leave, Glaven makes out a copy of the numbers that, you know, and hands it to them. You know, given all the details and stuff, just so with that... B cell has a copy of the all our information thus far.
Okay.
Yeah, in case they need to send backup.
All right. So Glaven, you take a nap. Henry, you take off in the van.
Right, and I will actually grab the taser dart gun from Hayes. I'm sure he has it around somewhere. So I'm gonna take that again.
All right. So you head off in the van, and as you drive through the sleeping town of Hayden. 3 o'clock in the morning, and take 97 south to North Platte, and you're about, I'd say, halfway down 97 on the it's not even interstate, it's a state freaking highway. And you see in the distance lights flashing, and as you pull up in the barest twilight, I mean, it's just that gloaming before the sun even rises, you realize that the highway department has set up barriers across the highway. And you pull the van to a stop, and the there's a state trooper standing there. You guys hand raised. There's a barrier behind him, and there's another vehicle. It's a nondescript four-door sedan, and there's a guy who's got the window rolled down, and you can hear him talking to the state trooper, and you go down. And what you hear is you hear the guy saying, God, I'm so glad I made it. I probably shouldn't have attempted that, sir. That was probably stupid. I could have gotten myself and my grad student here killed. We're just headed out to the GPCA, but yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I'm glad you got the barriers up. And he looks at your van. He's like, well, maybe he could make it in that. And he kind of laughs a little nervously. And the trooper looks over and he's like, road's blocked, son. Sorry, it's washed out with the flood, flash flooding. You're going to have to stay here.
What? Flash flooding. It's very, very important. I get through.
We'll leave you there, and we'll cut over to Magnus.
Yeah.
Now, Magnus, you left Steven's house and went to the hotel, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, what was your plan once you got to the hotel? I mean, it's day now. I mean, did you just want to check in, get a shower, change of clothes, that sort of thing?
Get a shower, get a change of clothes. And see if the other guys are there. And if they're not, I'm going to give a call out to the GPCA.
Well, if it's the daytime, then Glaven will be lying. You know, Glaven is pretty much... His clothes are in a pile beside the bed, and he's fast asleep.
Okay.
At
the hotel.
Okay.
How did you get to the hotel, Glaven?
Didn't he give me a lift? What?
I think he took off without you.
Oh, did he? God damn it! Did you leave me, Glaven in Hayes' room?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, never mind. Shit, I thought. Yeah. Okay, then. Glaven is not at the hotel. I thought. Okay. No. Never mind. Sorry. My brain is obviously not switched on. Never mind. I need more sleep. I'm silly enough to go to a lot of the weekend, so, you know, I blame myself.
Well, let's do this then. So, Magnus, you check in. I guess you take a shave and a shower and a change of clothes?
Yeah.
Okay. You call up the GPCA and get the receptionist, and you tell her you're looking for the rest of your group, and she says she will walk over to Dr. Hayes' staff quarters and see if he's in.
Yeah.
And she will call you back, basically, is what it is. So, At some point, I assume you're going to step outside of your room.
Well, once I've gotten the call back, I won't step out until I've gotten the call back.
Okay. Well, at some point you will hear back from Dr. Hayes, and he will. Dr. Hayes, I assume you tell him Glavin's asleep in your bed, and that Hendry. You don't know where Hendry is, right?
I'm asleep.
Okay. Well, you do get woken up by the receptionist. Oh, she does knock on your door, so you're awakened by loud knocking at your front door.
Who is it?
It's the receptionist. I can't remember her name. And she said, there's a phone call for you at the admin building. It's from a Marshall Glavin looking for...
Gary.
Marshall Gary looking for his coworkers and you. Would you like to take it at the administration building, please?
$500 a day isn't worth this.
you could always wake up the marshal and send him instead.
At this stage, I'm too sleep deprived to think of that, so I just go.
Okay. So you get back to the administration building, and she dials the number for you and connects you with Agent Gary. So okay. You two are on the phone.
Hey, Hayes. Where's everyone? What's up?
What?
Where is everyone?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, that's a start, I suppose.
Where's very political. And...
You realize I was asleep when everyone decided where they were going, so...
I know. My character doesn't.
I just
doesn't.
Know that, Glavin's asleep.
Okay.
In my bed.
Why is he in your... I don't want to know.
Oh,
I'll get out to the GPCA and I'll let you two do whatever.
Yes.
So, and I'll hang up and then I'll leave the hotel and how far is it to the sheriff's station?
You can walk. It's not that far, but you do notice the van is not there.
Yeah.
Actually, we never decided how the hell you got back. I guess you walked to the hotel, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So you start walking.
Yep.
Okay, this is as you're walking, a very large, fat grasshopper lands on your shoulder.
I try to brush it off.
Okay, you brush it off. You keep walking down the side street, headed towards Main Street, and about two or three more land on you. One on your head, one on your chest, one hits your leg.
I try to brush those off and take a look at where all these grasshoppers are coming from.
They whirr around, and as suddenly about 10 to 15 land on you, do you keep brushing?
I start running towards the nearest building.
You are overtaken by a swarm of grasshoppers. As you're desperately trying to run away from them, you can give me a sand roll.
37. This doesn't bother me.
Oh. Okay. It is a cloud has descended on the street, and you're running towards where? The nearest building?
The nearest building, yes.
Okay, it's a private residence. The door is closed. You start beating on the door?
Yeah.
Okay, as you beat on the door, a cloud hits you on your back. And you can give me another sand check as you are engulfed in a cloud of locusts.
11. That doesn't bother me either, obviously.
Okay, eventually the door opens. A bewildered older woman is like, what's going on? And,
Help me, ma'am. And I basically force my way in the door and then close it fast.
Okay, she closes the door behind you and locks it, and you start swatting grasshoppers out of you. Yeah,
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Slamming against the door.
I'm sorry, and I show her my badge, the U.S. Marshal Service. Thanks for letting me in. I don't know what's going on out there.
You got some locusts on you there.
I got more than a few of them on me. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. And we will end it there as you're pulling locusts out of your shirt, your pants, out of your hat. I mean, they're just all over you.
Out of his pants.
out of his van. They are literally everywhere. And you can hear the swarm hitting against her front door and windows.
This is crazy.
Crazy stuff going on.